welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Yeah, we're going to need some more popcorn around here because there's just so much salt everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh my god, just all these people. I mean, I'm not too disappointed. I wasn't as jubated as other people, but boy, I think I actually have the reaction to many of the fans right now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's exact same reaction.
See, the way I see it, Will, is there's this divide. There is one half of the fan base that wants a condiment, and the other half wants a safe place to live. So, you know, they want salt and sanctuary. Oh, yeah, I went there. And, of course, also here, not salty, though, is Tellius Tyler, unless you want to be salty. I mean, I guess.
I mean, how could I possibly be salty? Today was one of the greatest days in the history of Nintendo, in the history of humankind, dare I say.
That's a stretch, but okay.
But I think I have something a little more accurate, if I may attempt to pull a Will here,
okay.
For the haters and losers.
Mine away.
This is...
Oh. Nope, not coming through.
Oh, it's not coming through?
No, you got do you like press to talk or whatever?
Sorry?
Do you like press to talk? Or...
No, I don't know how to do it. Ah, well, just edit that out. It's not going to work.
What are we going to play? Describe it to us.
Yeah, describe.
When Dimitri realizes Edelgard is the Flame Emperor, and he hysterically laughs, and then he says, is this some kind of twisted joke?
Yeah.
That's the haters and losers right now. Just like their mentality has been shattered.
Yes.
And I get it. I really do. I totally get it. I mean, we went from a bunch of third-party characters, it's very exciting, to a first-party character, the meme franchise. There's so many Fire Emblem characters in Smash, and yeah. It's the final one of the first DLC pack. I get why people are angry.
Yeah.
I am
to an extent.
It is so funny.
All right, well, we're obviously the Byleth reveal video, which we are so grateful came out today and not tomorrow, because that would have been sad if we had to wait a week to talk about this stuff. But we will be talking about that in a later segment. But of course, we're going to all start off with, what have you been playing? And aside from playing whack-a-mole with haters, I was going to try and find a way to put salt in there, but I'm just like, nah, just go whack-a-mole. People will get it. We've been playing some interesting things, I would hope. Tyler, let's start
yes.
with you first, because you're absolutely giddy. Giddy, I tell you.
Yes. Well, I have been playing... So there was a big sale on the eShop.
Yes.
New
Year
that.
Sale. And I indulged in the New Year sale bit. I bought Freedom Planet, which is like a Sonic the Hedgehog kind of spinoff. Mega Man X Legacy Collection, Okami HD, Mega
wow.
Man 11, The Messenger, and Katana Zero. And I got all of those games for, like, I think $60. So
okay.
that was a pretty good deal. Okami HD was like $11, which I've always wanted to play that game. But yeah, so I've been playing a Freedom Planet, though. I actually did at least one of the playthroughs. It is exactly like an old-school Sonic game in that there's like a Sonic character, a Tails character, and a Knuckles character. So I've done the Sonic kind of stand-in characters playthrough. And I enjoyed the game quite a bit. I think they're doing a sequel. It's definitely an unpolished game. I think it started as a fan Sonic title, actually. And then they said, you know what, we want to do our own thing with it. And I think ironically, when they go away from the Sonic aesthetic, that's when the game kind of slows down. There's a little more combat than a classic Sonic game, and it's not as smooth as Sonic games are, but I've enjoyed it. I think if you've been on sale, I would recommend it. And then I've also been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, of course, but really nothing to write home about there. And yeah, it's still been kind of light. I'm starting to get a better schedule, squeeze more gaming time in, but I'm not there yet.
Because you still got a bunch of like regular Switch games to play. Like, you've barely touched like Dragon Quest and everything.
Yeah.
You bought that
month. Oh, yeah, ago. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have a ton of Switch games to pick up. And then I used a gift card I got for Christmas. I went over to GameStop, grabbed a Chrom Amiibo, and
nice.
Pre-ordered Tokyo Mirage. So that'll be another title. Although apparently that game's only like 30 hours long.
Oh,
it's like, it's not as long. I have played the original. It's not as long as like a big RPG like Dragon Quest or Persona 5. So it's kind of like the Persona Light. It's definitely the lighter one.
Yeah. Because Shin Megami Tensei, I mean, on 3DS, that game takes like 80 hours at least to beat. At least. To this one being 30 hours, to me, is at least a surprise and a little bit shorter than I thought it would be.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. It definitely respects time, this one. It definitely respects the time, but from all the like the quality of life improvements, at least what I've seen so far, yes. I guess I'll go next then. For me, yeah, I've also been indulging myself in the eShop sales as well by the time of this recording. And yeah, I actually managed to go and play Ori and the Blind Forest. I tried a bit of them and actually bought the full game. And I know I'm late to the party, but I can see why this game was like revered back then. Like how it's like very moving. And yeah, like I understand it's not really much of a spoiler in the beginning, but I teared up. I'm not gonna lie, I teared up in the beginning of the opening, and the only other game that actually made me tear up like that in the first like 30 minutes of the game was Last of Us, and just the fact I played playing the level right there, just how it easily tells a story right then and there, like within this gameplay. Yeah, I can see why it's so special, Ori and the Blind Forest. So I can't wait to try once I head over to Malaysia, once I have the time for these next 3 weeks.
That's how I knew that I was, I guess, an old school Nintendo. I thought the opening of that game was really like well done, but I felt like it went on for too long. It was like minutes. I just wanted to play the game.
Really? I kind of felt
I mean, it was good. I get it. It was a thing. But I don't know. I wanted to just jump in and start playing.
Again, it does hold your hand a little bit longer than usual games. But yeah, overall, like Ori and the Blind Forest, once it takes away the training wheels off, then yeah, there's a lot to enjoy. So yeah, Ori and the Blind Forest, definitely get this game if you can. I pay like $15. And then I bought some extra expansion pass for a certain niche game, so to speak.
Oh, no.
I will spare you the details.
Thank you.
Overall, and yeah, also just been playing a little bit of Overwatch. What else did I do? Yeah, also just been playing a little bit of Heroes, Judgment. And yeah, I pretty much, this is kind of like when I was like saw the bottle review, it was like, if this is not a sign for me to at least finish one round of three houses, I don't know what is for you two considering batching me. So yeah, once I probably head on vacation, I'll probably push myself to finally finish up at least one round. Yes, but I don't know. Even with but now we have announced for DLC, maybe I should still hold up a little bit more. I don't know.
All right,
well,
for me.
Sorry, guys.
Silence, the host is talking.
That'll be in our news segment. I was going to get into it.
Dale. That's why I'm the host. I know exactly where we are at all points in time. What was I talking about? Just kidding. So I honestly have... I've had a weird week. I'm not... But I have obviously playing Pokemon Shield. In fact, I did a two-hour session before tonight's podcast.
Oh.
I am about to face the second gym leader, Nessa, in Pokemon Shield. And it's fun just building up my team. I just got my Ralts to evolve into Curlier, and that was really fun. I'm like, come on, I want you to evolve. And I forgot, I couldn't remember if it was like 20 or 21 that she evolved at. And then I found a Firestone, because I'm starting to think about my Eevee and my Growlithe and like when I should evolve them. And I want to get an Ice Stone so I can get Glaceon to have an Ice type on my side, because I don't have that. And then, but then I got a Leaf Stone. I'm like, maybe I should go with Leafeon because I don't have a Grass type either. And then I'm like, wait a minute, what about Growlithe? You know, I gotta get him to Arcanine, but when do I get him to Arcanine? So I was actually looking up Google, and I'm like, when's the best time to evolve Growlithe into Arcanine? And they go level 45 because that's when he learns Flare Blitz, and then after that, you know, Arcanine doesn't really learn anything. So I'm like, okay, I'll wait till 45. But it's just, you know, I'm trying to make a very balanced team. And it's very, very fun. Like, I had, because I picked a Sobble as my starter, the first gym is a grass gym.
Mm-mm,
and the grass types, you know, do some serious damage to water types. And so I thankfully got a Noibat in a max raid battle. And so I've been training that thing up. And of course, its flying attacks do massive damage. And I kid you not, though, the final Pokemon, Edelgoss?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, sounds really close to Edelgard. Is maybe that's her Pokemon. Maybe we don't know. I mean, cross worlds or whatever. Pokemon Conquest, Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem Pokemon Conquest, you know. You never know. Appreciate those who remember the original Pokemon Conquest games. It was fun. You know, we had a Dynamax war between it and my Noibat because it apparently had so much health that I was hitting it with Max Airstream. And it was trying to hit me with its grass types. It was doing little damage. I was doing a lot of damage, but I just couldn't knock it out. And so it literally had, like, you know what he had? Have like that sliver of life left. That's what it had to be. And then we both un-Dynamax and, like, gust. And it dies. And, like, finally! So this is why you have a balanced team, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can, you know, blaze through these things. Again, it was so easy when I had Raboot, you know, just fire attacks and boom! Yeah. So... No, it's fun, and I still very much enjoy this Pokemon game. And I actually took a part of the quote unquote extra content that we have, where I caught the Galarian Slowpoke.
Oh, okay.
But fun fact though, when you catch it, it doesn't give you a new Pokedex entry.
Really?
Really? So that I mean, yeah.
I wonder if they'll add that.
I bet you they will when they get when content comes out, like the actual DLC content. Also, I can confirm that the Sword and Shield expansion passes are different.
That's so infuriating, man. Is. That's terrible. That's terrible. Nobody's talking about that.
Well, they will once it gets closer. That I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happened, but yeah, I'm enjoying that. Then I'm playing Fire Emblem Heroes. I am getting up a lot of orbs because we are going to have a very special banner coming up. And I'm actually quite surprised by this, but it's a nice surprise. Sorry, we're gonna have four characters from Tokyo Mirage Sessions on FE Encore Sharp plus Knuckles Ultra whatever. And so we're gonna have the four characters from there, and it's actually really kind of cool because obviously this is a like spin-off of Fire Emblem, and yet it does technically fit the world. But to that end, I pose to you. Shouldn't we get Rowan and Lena?
We didn't. I thought that was strange that we didn't.
Yeah. I mean, they could add him in soon, obviously.
I don't think they will at this point, right? Doing a sequel.
That's true.
If they did a sequel, I think we get him.
Because that would have been fun. You know, they were cool. But, yeah. So I liked them.
Yeah, they weren't awful.
They were hardly awful, but it's just like in the context of the Warriors game, they actually had a lot of story about, you know, them actually desiring to become royalty and all that by the end. So, you know, it's as much story as you're going to get from a Warriors
time. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here.
So, yeah. I mean, and if we're being honest, it took how long for Alphonse and Shireen to really become their own? So, I'm going to give Rowan Liliana?
Yeah,
Liana. That was it, Liana. Fun fact, I actually named two characters in a fanfic after them. They were bad guys, though. Oops! So, but yeah, I've been enjoying that, and then more of Pokemon over the weekend, because I finally have a weekend to myself. Because the last few weekends I've been watching a lot of football, and now only football's on Sunday, because we're getting close to the Super Bowl, so my Saturday hopefully will be a lot clearer outside of work, which once again has been very erratic, but whatever. I'm a horrible Nintendo fanboy at times because I have the potential to, like today, I had the potential to play like hours upon hours of Pokemon, and I was like, I need work to do, man. Like, you got any work for me, Holmes? And eventually I found that ironically one of my jobs did come through and I did need work, but it was just like, then after I got everything done, like, I'm sitting here and I'm playing Pokemon for 2 hours. End of story.
Yeah, it's so challenging, but you have to find... There's just so much, as we all know, Nintendo Switch has games. There's so much time. So many games.
So, you know, when they choose to announce them and release them. Hang on. All right. So, obviously, the big thing of today was we had the final Smash Brothers DLC Fighter Pack 1 reveal via our father and lord, Sakurai. Mm-hmm. I can't even say that with a straight face. Our father and lord.
He's daddy Jesus Sakurai.
I know, daddy Jesus. Oh, gosh. And yet he flipped us off. No, so yeah, we're going to break down everything that happened with this with some direct talk. All right, so before we get to the actual Byleth announcement, I want to talk about the build-up for this, because we now have had literally 2 weeks, with last week and this week, of two different directs between the Pokemon announcement and the Smash Brothers announcement, which makes me really hope we get a Nintendo Direct next week, because why not? I mean, you did Pokemon, you did Smash Brothers, I understood why you did them twice, or in the separate ways, because obviously there was a lot of effort put into that, and as we found out, Sakurai recorded this 2 months ago. Okay.
Right? So that was weird. That was very weird, because I had said that I was not upset about the Game Awards because I just assumed they didn't have the character footage ready. But that's not true. I don't know why they didn't show this at the Game Awards. I really don't. Although, maybe it would have been, maybe because they knew the hype would not be what it was.
Maybe
they knew the reaction, but it was surprising to me.
But if you think about it right now, think of the irony that we would have gotten the Byleth announcement and then found out that Fire Emblem Three Houses won the fan vote. I mean,
that might have worked out better.
Obviously, they didn't know that. There's no way they could have known that going into this. But right. Hilariously, and the other option is that they were. It's possible. If you recall the Joker reveal, the reason they didn't show gameplay was because it took them a while just to get the reveal trailer, and they said themselves that they had drums of some serious loopholes to get that done. So it's possible that they might have had, like, obviously they had the gameplay footage, but the trailer itself might not have been done.
Perhaps.
That was a kind of a complex trailer.
You could be right there, yeah.
So there's many ways we can interpret this, but either way, the lead up to this was basically crying out that it was going to be Dante. All right, because we were getting news about Devil May Cry 3 Ultimate on Switch, or Special Edition on Switch, and there was actually a tweet from Capcom, or Devil May Cry's handle, where it said that the 16th, which is today, which was the Smash Brothers reveal day, that there was going to be something to celebrate. And everyone was like, well, wait a minute, if they're saying there's something to celebrate, and Smash Brothers is having the reveal, is it Dante? And no, it wasn't Dante. It was me! Dio! I mean, Byleth. Totally Byleth. Not Dio. Not Dio at all. And besides, Dio would never lose in Smash Brothers. You can't kill the dang guy. Yes, I know Dio dies. But yes, we have gotten Byleth from Fire Emblem Three Houses, our dear professor, and just like Robin and Corrin, we have in the male and female form, so good for that. And the costumes. I love the costumes.
Right. Yeah.
I do too.
Love
the
alternate skins.
Sick.
Great stuff, but and then the trailer itself was hilarious in so many levels, because they replay basically, spoilers, one of the most important scenes in the game, where Byleth is trapped in another dimension, a dark dimension, if you will, and Sothis has to save him, but instead of granting the certain power boost, if you will, let's just call it Super Saiyan, he says, you have to go to Smash! And they hammed it way the heck up. I mean, from the original, you know, Byleth picks goes to Smash House, to the bad guy reacting that, so Smash Brothers is better than the darkness? You're dang right, Smash Brothers is better than the darkness.
I just want to also give props to, like, the animation as well. Like, I know, I don't know, like, when Sothis was speaking, it feels like a little bit purposely choppy, just like, but also had that same sassy comedic effect, like, oh, so you came back, huh? Oh, there are more, another swordsman?
Yeah, that so line, that, oh, there's too many swordsmen in Smash, love it. That's Daddy Sakurai right there, trolling everybody.
He is the world's greatest troll. He is so funny. Sakurai, the fact that he did this, that's all it is. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. and all the characters, like the final one for the first pass, he picks a Fire Emblem character. He's so funny. I love him.
And then of course, the tease of, like, when they did, like, the announcement, they had him with a pose at the number 3.
Yes.
And everyone's like, does that mean Kingdom Hearts 3? Does that Devil May Cry 3? Is it? And no one was saying Fire Emblem, and then after Byleth gets announced, like, oh yeah, Three Houses, oh yeah, right.
Yeah, the inner conspiracy theorists in the chat, myself included, was like, what does it mean? It was standing right in front of my face. It was, first party, yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody, at least on my timeline, I was seeing tons of people making fun of people who were, like, reading into it. And honestly, I thought it was kind of ridiculous people were reading that far into it, too. But it turned out that they were right. And Sakurai, just, again, being a troll, like, after this, every single thing that we ever see in a Smash Bros. Direct, people are going to be reading into. Because, remember the chairs? Where people were like, purple and yellow chairs are in the background. That means Waluigi's coming to Smash.
Oh, gosh.
Like, that stuff's going to be, like, ramped up now. He's going to be actually doing something.
I mean, you know, in fact, again, because I'm still reminded of when Reggie reviewed Cloud, he said, we have one final trailer. Like, obviously, that was obviously clue in for Cloud in Final Fantasy. So, I don't know. I'm sorry. It feels like Nintendo will purposely at least put in one hint before, like, a major reveal. I mean, the fact that Sakurai counted in binary for 17 games of Fire Emblem, which apparently that's what he was doing with the 3 aside from it. It's just like, okay, I'm sorry. We're just going to go over and ask to the point, like, what does it mean? What does it mean? To the point, yeah.
So, yeah, needless to say, this was an interesting one. And then I loved how they, like, you know, extended the cutscene with the whole switch from male to female Byleth, and then the reveal of the holy relics. Of Edelgard, Dimitri, and Claude's weapons being used by Byleth, which is something, for the record, that has not happened in the game, technically.
I guess
you can use them. I mean, just like you can use the other hero relics, but I guess I just never thought about it, because it's like, why would I take Dimitri's lance away from him? I don't want to die. So, but, yeah, so Byleth plays very differently. He has the Sword of the Creator, which is awesome, including the extension ability, so that immediately makes him different than most Fire Emblem characters, except technically Korin, who can do it herself. But we have, he has a lance, he has an axe, he has a bow, and they all have their own special unique abilities that can really add a lot of strategy to the player, which is, of course, good, because this is a Fire Emblem character, so there should be strategy into it. And the final smash is Byleth summoning Sothis to use Ruptured Heaven, a variation of it, obviously. And yeah, that is that's our fifth character. So, and you know what the funny thing is? And I'm not going to hold this against you guys that much, but if you recall, I noted in one of our many discussions about DLC characters, I asked you straight up, should they go back to doing first-party characters? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I believe I recall.
Yeah, and you guys, and I believe Tyler especially was like, I don't think that should happen because of, you know, the potential of third party characters and crossovers and everything. And I agreed with you because on a certain level, you know, it's fair that the DLC is all third party characters. But then, you know, now that Byleth's here, I'm like, told you so.
It was unbelievable that they put up like the Smash Bros. Cross Fire Emblem, because if they've been crossed since Melee. This whole thing is just, it's hysterical. Like,
yep.
Now, I understand, like, people are very, very angry, and I've explained, I get their rage, but we were able to act like we were excited about Terry Bogard, okay? Like,
I was happy.
There was a gigantic collective shrug when Terry Bogard came out. People were just like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, 10 people who were really, really excited because they actually know who Terry Bogard is, but Let's not lie to ourselves here. Terry Bogard was not a thrilling announcement, at least for most.
Arguable.
As in all things, and we'll just get right into this. Every single character, every single one, outside of the stalwarts, like the original 12 from the original Smash Bros., which you could still argue with those because of Captain Falcon and Ness. All right, you know, every single character that is going to be announced from him. Forevermore, every new character is either going to be liked, loved, or shrugged. Because if you don't have a connection with that fan base, if you don't have a connection with that franchise, if you don't connection with that character, you're not going to care. And let's just go right through the DLC characters. When Joker was announced, we freaked, but for very different reasons. Will was losing his gosh dang mind because his persona character, and probably embodiment of his will, Joker... I was going to go a little darker, but I'm trying to be nice. You know, Joker got announced. Joker from Persona, who had only been like spin-offs on Nintendo platforms, and we still didn't get the main game, which was very, very wrong. You know, he was losing it.
Mm-hmm.
I was indifferent. I didn't hate Persona. I've never played a game. I understand the importance of Joker, but you know, did I need him in Smash Brothers? No, not really. And then I think you were okay with
it,
Tyler.
I was excited because I thought that meant we were getting Persona 5.
Which we didn't.
Like, I wasn't thrilled for Joker. I was more like, oh man, if we get Persona 5, that could be a sign. That's sick.
Yeah. You want to talk about trolling? How about Sakurai going to Atlas headquarters and we only get a jerk?
Right.
All right.
He's the best.
He's the best. And then, of course, number two was Dragon Quest Hero, which, in the objective global sense of gaming, yeah, that makes sense. Dragon Quest was born on the Nintendo Famicom and Super Famicom. It came out before Final Fantasy, haters. And I get tired of people ragging on Dragon Quest. And like, there's like no Final Fantasy. I'm like, dude, Dragon Quest was first. Final Fantasy was mimicking Dragon Quest. Learn your history. Anyway, so you know, like, and even Sakurai said that he loves Dragon Quest. Like, he probably fought hard to get Dragon Quest because he loves it. That was him.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's Banjo-Kazooie, which I would say is probably the most universally enjoyed of the five, including Byleth, obviously. But
Banjo even had his detractors.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, especially younger kids, these young people on the block who don't know who Banjo is, were very upset.
You can call millennials.
Millennials.
Yeah. Well, I love millennials, so I don't want to single anyone out. But
technically,
you know, let's just
say
young people who don't know who Banjo is, were not happy about it because there's so many more iconic characters that they could put in. I mean, silly in my opinion, but no, you're right. And then on to Terry, it's a very similar thing there.
If you didn't play Neo Geo, if you don't know Fatal Fury, if you don't know King of Fighters, you don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people play those games still. I don't know this. I don't have the sales numbers in front of me, but I would think that King of Fighters is like a fourth tier. It's definitely not as big as Street Fighter, Tekken, or Mortal Kombat.
Well, the fighting game community itself, like, King of Fighters is fairly respectable. It's nothing big like Street Fighters or like Tekken for certain, no doubt about that. But it definitely has a solid fan base. So
there's been over 14 of them.
Yeah,
like main titles. There's been I remember writing about King of Fighters 14. So clearly you're doing something right. So
just my overall point was, a lot of people don't know who Terry was, but there was not this vitriol. And I do wonder if Sakurai should have held off on releasing Byleth until the next DLC pack, after introducing another first party character first. Just your expectations shift or shape everything, you know? And
of course.
Some people weren't excited for Hero. Some people weren't excited for Terry. Some people weren't excited for Banjo. Some people weren't excited for Joker. Some people were mad about Piranha Plant.
Yeah,
Piranha
Plant. Piranha Plant is in the game. Like, that's
the troll.
Best example.
That was a troll move.
Imagine
Piranha
if Piranha Plant.
Plant
was the fifth character.
Gosh.
Like, that would have been the fun. I would have loved it. But so many people would have been furious because we were all expecting a third-party character. So,
and you know, I think honestly, that's the biggest reason why Byleth is being hated.
Yes.
Not because he's a Fire Emblem character. Not because it's the last character, even. It's because we have honestly had four characters from the DLC Fighter Pack from four very different franchises of four very different fan bases in many, many ways. And yet they all felt like they kind of sort of fit in Smash Brothers. And everyone's thinking, who's going to be the next to break down the walls? Dante. Sora. Give me another third party.
Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden.
Of course,
yeah,
Ninja Gaiden, yeah.
Which would work.
Yeah.
He's been on Nintendo plenty of times. And, you know, that one. You know, any of these legendary third-party characters. And we get Fire Emblem again. And this is me quoting them. I'm obviously happy about Byleth. But, you know, that's their thing. It's like, oh, man, look, Fire Emblem's got another one. And they're mad because I honestly think, and this is me being honest here, barring, like, a uber super popular first-party character, which I honestly... Not like Waluigi, but I'm not gonna lie. If Waluigi gets in this game, I'm gonna be ticked.
He's a meme. He's a meme. Yes, he's basically
a meme
now.
Give me Midna. Give me Dixie Kong. I'll take Dixie. Give me Isaac from Golden Sun. We've been begging for that one for years. You know, Crystal from Star Fox. Give me one of those first party characters, and I guarantee you most people will be content. But because it's Fire Emblem and the whole, oh, they're between the Echoes and the clones and the
and everything. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Swordsman.
You know, there's this thing, like, and a lot of people have erroneously said that, you know, oh, it's Fire Emblem Fighters plus other franchises. And yet Tyler wisely pointed out a certain fact. Please remind them of this, Tyler.
Yeah, so Super Mario got a new character. Donkey Kong got a new character. Metroid got a new character. Fire Emblem is one of Nintendo's biggest franchises. It's the only game, or one of the only top five Nintendo franchises that didn't get a brand new fighter yet in Smash Ultimate. Now they have one. I mean, Crom was added, yes, but he's an Echo fighter. So, from a representation perspective, I don't understand being upset about it.
And the other thing you need to think about is, yeah, technically with Byleth, Fire Emblem has more characters than anybody else in the Smash Brothers Ultimate lineup. But here's the thing: half of that is because of everyone is here.
Right.
Because if objectively, this was what we want to call it, like a non everyone is here game. Roy, Lucina, and more than likely Crom, because I doubt there would have been Echo Fighters. Like, you know, Roy, Lucina, and Crom would not be in this game, and that's three fighters right there. It would be Marth, Ike, Corrin, Robin, and Byleth. That's five.
I would think Corrin wouldn't be in if it wasn't everyone is here. I mean, because Corrin was fairly dated by the time.
Well, so is Robin. By that, because Robin came before Corrin.
Yeah, no, Robin did go. Yeah, but Robin is from Awakening. I mean, I think Robin probably would have stayed, but he's so different.
That's true. I would say Corrin is very different because of a transfer.
Corrin is great. Yeah. It's just Corrin's is a traditional Smash Bros. Character. He's different from the other Fire Emblem characters,
yeah,
which
definitely.
Is another point that just I am so sick of seeing of all these people, all the Fire Emblem characters fight. This is our 10th of Marth. Like, you don't play those characters if you think that. I saw our friend Kremlin Kevin. I love him. Great man. Great guest on his podcast when he came
Here we
on.
Go.
But he said that Cloud is too similar to the Fire Emblem characters. Like, that's how you know that there's no logic or knowledge going into some of these arguments. Like, that's just asinine. Cloud is completely different from all the Fire Emblem characters. If you want to say Roy and Marth are similar,
they are.
Sure.
They're a literal clone. Moves. Roy was one of the first clones.
Originally.
Yes, 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 yes,
but
yes.
Even now, they play totally differently. Now, they have similar moves, absolutely. But Roy is a rushdown character. Marth is Marth's trying to keep you out. Roy is trying to get in. They play totally different. Ike is a totally different animal.
Absolutely.
A heavyweight, slow. His moves are completely different. I don't think he shares anything with those with the other characters besides a counter. Corrin, obviously the same thing. Completely different character. It's very... I get the emotional side. It's a game. Being emotional is what we do. It's fun to be emotional about it. Come on. These characters are all very different in the way they play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That goes aside, obviously.
It's just kind of one of the effects of, like, when fans or ourselves, like, overhype the points. Like, again, self expectations. Like, you expect something different, especially with Capcom just not really helping with the situation of adding putting oil to the fire of, like, just hyping up, like, it could be possibly Dante. Like, oh, we have something also on this date as well. What is it? Is it Dante? Like, we're not saying anything, but of course they knew it was not Dante. And yeah, just everyone just overhyping it. And again, like the old saying goes, don't believe the hype. So like a lot of people just basically want to believe. They reach for the sun to actually be something else. But of course, like granted, because again, we had four third-party characters in a row. We were hoping for another continue with the streak. But now we have with Fire Emblem Three Houses. And then of course with the whole hate of it. Again, just people just expectations were just not met. And therefore hence disappointed. It's that's kind of deal I feel like people really should really continue to keep in mind with going to these directs. Keep your expectations tempered. Like, it's good to hype yourself, get yourself excited, but don't to the point of like reach to the sun, you're gonna get burned. So yeah, just really be careful going to the use of hype.
Been burned so many times. So many.
Yeah,
where is Midna? Why is she still the sister? I'm just joking.
Yes, and let's not forget about the Grinch leak as well, that people will think that.
that wasn't incorrect, Tyler, right? It just hasn't happened yet. That's Fighter Pack 2, right, Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing too. We have Fighter Pack coming. Pack 2 is in the pipeline. It really is just
literally
a matter of our expectations not matching up reality. And Nintendo and Sakurai did not prepare us for this. Every sign pointed to it was going to be all third parties, at least for this first one. And then to end it on Byleth, I totally understand. Let's talk about Byleth as a character. Can we do that now?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because he's slow a little bit quicker than Robin, but Robin's the slowest character in the game, but he uses all three of the primary heroes' relics from the three lords, which is very cool. His down moves all use Edelgard's Amir, his side moves all use a reed bar from Dimitri, and his neutral moves use Fail Not from Claude. So you get a decent taste of all the weapons in Fire Emblem. I think that his he seems to be Sakurai called him a distance demon. He's going to be a lot of range. He's definitely going to be using Fail Gnaw a lot with his to try to shoot people away with the arrows. He seems to have a Belmont style. Or Belmont kind of playstyle, just without a ton of projectiles, right? He just has Fail Gnaw. But I see a similar kind of he's trying to control the space of Dage. He's trying to keep center stage and push you away with his long range. But it's really going to come down to, because they said his grabs are not very good, which does not help at all. But his viability is absolutely going to come down to just how safe some of his moves are on shield, because if they're laggy, he's going to have a really hard time in this game. A lot of characters who are top tier, as in every Smash game, are super fast. So I'm hoping that Byleth can hang. I'm definitely going to be picking him up and playing him nonstop for a while to see if I can get the hang of it.
I think the funniest thing about his moveset, and this is what Sakurai noted, was that he's a great character unless you're facing another Fire Emblem character, because they can just counter him into oblivion, and Byleth doesn't have counter, at least not that we saw. You could do all these really cool moves, but don't use it against counter, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Counters, reflectors, I mean, again, I think Joker pretty much can counter him easily, because again, with Arsene, his both counter and reflect down B once his persona's out, I feel Joker is an easy antidote against Byleth.
So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see it play now. Another thing that we got wrong was we were wondering if they were gonna do this presentation was it gonna be a same day release, and it's not. Byleth is coming out on January 28th, which is cool, so it's not too far away. It's less than 2 weeks. And then we can begin the countdown clock for Fighter Pack 2, which will have not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six. Yes, six DLC characters, which is more than LeBron has rings. And... what, Tyler? Come on, Tyler. You had to get that reference. Come on.
Yeah, I did. I did get that reference. Yeah. Kremlin Kevin responded to my tweet about responded back.
Uh-oh.
And I was reading his reply. That was. I got to get my head in the game. I apologize.
Uh-huh. We're going to get six new DLC characters over the course of the next 2 years. Yes, 2 years. 2020 and 2021. Because they said the tentative release date is between now and December 31st. 2021. Obviously, more than likely, we'll have the characters long before then, but you never know. So, and obviously, I would bet that we don't get the first new DLC character until like close to E3, barring something. And all the characters.
Really? You think it's gonna be that long?
It depends. Well, think about it. Technically, they've had the gameplay footage of Byleth for 2 months now. And then they just decided not to do it. So that probably means like polishing, refining, and we have no idea who the next character is going to be. So for all we know, it could be someone like and I'm not saying it's going to be her, but obviously because we already have her, but like Bayonetta. Bayonetta, they said, was really hard to work in because of the time travel moves and the movements of her and everything. And there are some characters that no doubt take longer to do, than others. Like how in at the end, Sakurai said that all the DLC characters were meant to bring something new to the game. You know, so depending on who the first of the new characters is, I could see them waiting until E3. I don't know.
I think that they're going to do a character in April. When
April?
Joker came out. Yeah, because Anna Plant came out in January, at the end of January last year, and then Joker came out in April. So I think... So I guess this is probably the space to mention this. This is really bad news, in my opinion, for people who want to direct very soon. maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But I... Especially because they, I mean, when we were putting together the pod today, we saw there's so much news. There's so much news. Nintendo's like pushing all this stuff out there now. I don't know. I feel like this. We might have to wait even longer, and that the next Nintendo Direct will get the next character. Maybe not. Maybe they'll do what they did this time and just in March or April, Sakurai will pop in and say, "Oh, hey, I'm going to show off so and so today." But yeah, I. Completely unrelated, but I just feel as though
it's curious.
Might be a bad sign.
Because again, like as I was doing before the podcast, we had 1 week where it was Pokemon Direct. This week was the Smash Brothers Direct, and both of them were deserved in having their separate things because of the links that they did, the 20 minutes and the 35 minutes. So, you know, that made sense. But it just makes you wonder, you know, are they prepping this big, massive Nintendo Direct? And if so, when are we going to get it? Are we going to get it next week? Are we going to get it first week in April? Will it be Nintendo's Valentine's Day gift to us? Who knows? It's Nintendo. We can never predict them, ever. So, all right, so we're going to step away. I know it's hard. We got to step away from Smash Brothers.
We just have to slowly wean ourselves off there. Hopefully there's a similar story to Smash Bros. That kicks off our news segment.
Yes, because there, as Tyler alluded to, there has been a massive week of news outside of Violet and Smash Brothers. And yeah, let's just bring it all down. This is going to get crazy. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. So we're gonna step away from Smash Brothers Ultimate, and we're gonna go right into a totally unrelated story of Fire Emblem Three Houses DLC. Yeah.
Just gotta say, like, the timing of this, wow.
They planned this. It's not even close. All right, because we are gonna get. And if you don't know already, Fire Emblem Three Houses has had an expansion pass, and the first couple updates have been small stuff. You have a new support, so you can get new characters like Geralt and Jiritsa. You get the sauna, because of course you do. It's Fire Emblem. And, you know, new auxiliary maps, a few new other areas to have fun in, etc., etc. But nothing really, like, massive. But now, we're going to have the fourth expansion, which is going to have you going into the quote-unquote underground of Garrickmach Monastery, and you will meet the unofficial fourth house of the place called the Ashen Wolves. These are the people that are the outcasts of the world of Fodlan, and they have come together to, you know, thrive and survive together without the blessings of the monastery above and everything else. And you're going to meet four new characters. Okay, I mean, there's going to be a lot of other characters. But you're going to have a new team of four characters of the Ashen Wolves. You'll have a new side story. And then you'll be able to bring these Ashen Wolves into the main story to be on the battlefield and interact with other characters. So this is a true story expansion. And it's coming out on... Is it coming out?
February 12th, I believe.
I come back, like 13th, like 12th and 13th around that time, yes.
Peter's acting up, so I have to take your word for it. But yes, it is coming out soon enough. But yeah, this was a funny thing to see, because I'm like, I forgot to mention this earlier. This is how my morning went. I had no sleep on Wednesday night. Or sorry, on Tuesday night. So I was a zombie all of Wednesday, and I was begging the good Lord above to let me have sleep. But I knew I had to get up at 8 a.m. for the Nintendo Direct. So I set my alarm for 7:50, but my computer is stupid, and so it sometimes will just freeze up for like 20 minutes, and I have to wait for it to unravel. So I'm trying to load up the Direct. It's not letting me, so I go to my phone, and I watch the entire Direct off my phone, which was fine, but it was still stupid. And so finally, and then after this, I go and like I take a nap for an hour and a half, because I'm a hermit, and I work from home, and I didn't have any work. So I got to do that, and then when I went to Twitter, this was the first thing that actually greeted me. It was like, oh, here's the Byleth trailer. Wait, that's not the Byleth trailer. Why is Byleth at a library? What's going on here? And it's like, oh, yeah, no, we got an entirely new DLC for you. So, okay. And yes, it is coming out on February 12th. We have an article up on it on the website, so go check that out. But this is surprising, because, I mean, we've seen, like, small story extensions, like Fates and technically Awakening, but this felt, oh, and Shadows of Valentia, but this is like the real, you know, story expansion, you know, a new house, new characters, new side story. So that's exciting.
It's yes. Very exciting. Yeah, I can't wait to really experience the story, because in the trailer, Claude, Edelgard, and Dimitri are all there when you're talking, when you're meeting, you see talking to these people. I wonder if you'll be able to play as all three house leaders at the same time. That's total speculation, but I think that might be really cool.
Yeah, and this is pre time skip, so I'm guessing like this is like the introduction of like I don't know, mystery, as I said, it's like a side story of it, so maybe it could be interwoven some way. Yeah,
I don't know. My only question is about, you know, impact and length, because obviously if this is they say it's a side story. They say this is not an entire new campaign, which they kind of prove, because the quote house is four characters, which is literally like half of what everybody else has.
Right.
So, and then they said you're going to bring them in to the main story. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll get more details before it comes out on the 12th, but it's curious to be sure. I'm excited.
Yeah, and just like seeing the character so far right now, the four cast members, like I think his name was Ewan, something like that, starts with a Y, but yeah, like apparently, for the most part, like the leader of the Ashen Wolves, like, seems pretty composed, like, yeah, we're a bunch, but once if you can adopt them into your house, that'll be much more appreciated, and then like the other two, like King of the Grapplers, which he was holding another arm, like relic. Heroes Relics, last I checked in the trailer. And there's like two more female cast members, or one cast and like magic user, and another one, I think also a horse rider, what they showed. But yeah, it just seems like they're gonna put in a like bit more personality into like the daily lives of Garrick Mach. So
and then we're gonna have an entirely new area of Garrick Mach to explore in the Abyss, the underground, so that'll be interesting.
So who knows, like, whatever gonna be, yeah, I really hope that, my only hope is that, again, as I said in prior podcasts, that this is much more better than the Yuritsa, and hopefully they have a much more like extra support conversations, like really flesh them out with other, even with other members, like with the other three houses. So that's my hope anyway, better than Yuritsa's.
I don't know if this will be enough to let me, I did not buy the expansion pass because I just didn't have any interest. But we'll see if this is good enough, if it's long enough and it's worthy enough, I might get it and then just weave it into my Silver Snow run, which I still haven't started. So
that's a good idea. Yeah, that's the real question, is how bulky is this going to be? Because Echoes had similar story DLC, but I think it was only four or five maps. So they were very quick. If this one adds more depth and is longer, I mean, it seems like they're going to tie things into Fodlan lore more. So I expect a little more detail. But still, they said spring originally for this, and this is clearly winter. So I wonder, I guess they just were ahead of schedule, but hopefully that means we'll get some more Fire Emblem news quicker than we thought.
Maybe. Ashen Wolves, get recruited into Smash. I'm kidding. It's like, don't ever ask me for anything again. Oh, Sakurai. Alright, next up, this one was actually surprising. We have the beginning of the Pokemon Twilight Wings anime series. This was a really interesting thing when it came out, because it's a 6-part series set in the Galar region, and it's not attached to the main anime. It's basically kind of like Pokemon Generations, if you recall that. And the first episode is out, and I think I saw that the second episode is out, but don't hold me to it. It's basically showing the Galar region from the perspectives of many different people. It's actually rather beautifully drawn. It's a little more like storybook than the anime, or even Generations at points. But it was cool enough, and we get to see like the impact of how the Pokemon League and the Galar region are. It's much more like soccer-esque in its global reach. Like, we basically watch two kids cheering on Leon as he wins a battle against one of the other gym leaders, and then Chairman Rose comes and visits them, and it's a whole thing. So it was quick, it was cute, but it was fun, and I liked it.
It was definitely a distraction for the most part. Like, the fact that, I think, not Nessa, like, the fighter, and Sword, help me, guys.
I can't remember her name.
Bay.
Yeah, it's Bay.
Yeah, facing off against with the champion Leon, and like the especially the Corviknight, like props to the Corviknight for helping that little kid who was about to faint, the animation art style, I gotta give props to, like, it's very like it has a lot of personality, and like showing from the kid's point of view how the Pokemon act in the world. Like, also seeing, like, we also see a little bit briefly all the Jimmy's, like, Nessa and everyone else. It kind of, I don't know, it's just something that's, like, it really reminisces to, like, probably, like, the first Pokemon movie I'm getting, or even like, Pikachu's Vacation. It feels like it's just basically a companion series to, like, really flesh out Pokemon of the Sword and Shield.
I didn't really get to watch this, but Corviknight always blows up my timeline whenever he does anything. It seems like one of the most beloved new additions, Sword and Shield.
Anyway, so stay tuned for that. It's again, a 6-part series, and it's really well done. And I'm happy to say that the Pokemon anime, the actual anime, is in the final match of the Alola League, and it's really cool. Like, Ash, I'm going to spoil it a little. Ash got Melmetal, like, he already had Meltan, and then they did this really unique evolution for him, and he's suddenly Melmetal, and they had Melmetal versus Silvally, and it was, like, the coolest thing ever. I was just like, what is going on here? This is awesome! So, and I mean, Pokemon, when it shines, it really shines, and this is a really good battle, and then, of course, we're gonna get Ash versus the Masked Royal. Gee, I wonder who that is. And a little later on, so I'm excited for that one, too, but... I'm so close to seeing Ash get victory, and it's, like, so exciting. So, yay, nerdcore. Alright, next up. Okay, Will's favorite story, which I had to show him because he didn't hear about this. Will, take it away.
So, yes, after my constant preaching, like, you may finally have some sparks of hope for Sky's Rokita sequel. So, back on January 13th, Kenji Hirota, one of the original programs of the Dreamcast original of Sky's Rokita, went on to Twitter to conduct a giveaway of a new original illustration of Vice from the game's original illustrator, Itsuki Hoshi. And after seeing, like, this great response from the fans and just expressing their love for the game, he also said that, like, basically said he's gonna, like, extend like the giveaway to, like, overseas, for and he himself will pay the overseas fare just to ship it. And in response to one of the comments, he said, like, is there possible? He also said that he hopes that perhaps, like, the Sega would notice a fan movement of some sort, anything like hashtag, I don't know, Rokita sequel. Like, hopefully, like, hopes the fans would organize some sort of movement that the fans just want a Skies of Arcadia sequel or just another game in that world. Another thing also is, like, he responded to one comment on the Twitter thread. I'm just currently checking out right now. One moment. Basically says, like, strongly, I really want to develop the sequel to Skies of Arcadia, which there is hope. However, like, it was an interview with Kotaku last year. We're going to with the producer of Skies of Arcadia, Reiko Kadama. Basically saying that it doesn't need a sequel, it's a pretty much self-contained story, and more or less trying to, like, dismiss any chances of a port to PC or Switch. But hey, a guy can dream, and fans can dream, and I don't know, as I've been preaching many times over, Skies Rokita is just such a wonderful world. Like, if they make a sequel, I'm happy. If it makes someone without, like, the three main casts, like Vina, Vice, and Aika, then... Heck, I just want another game of Sky Arcadia, just the fact. It's just, heck, the Age of Sky Piracy again. Why not? So this is basically my Shenmue 3 right now.
Alright. So we'll keep an eye on that, and if it does come out, hopefully we'll won't die from excitement. No promises, though. Alright, an interesting piece of news. The Switch is going to get a interesting third-party port in the form of Metro Redux. which, for the record, is not the latest in the Metro series. That was Metro Exodus. Metro Redux is one of the more, I guess, fan-beloved of the series, and that it's coming to Switch is kind of significant.
So just want to chip in as well, like, because I did play the second game of it, because I believe Metro Redux is the first game in the Metro series, and first is Metro Redux, then Metro Last Light before Exodus. And basically, if you love like your Russians and also the book itself, the original source material of the book, then yeah, this game is very, very story intense. And just if you love your dark sci-fi, apocalyptic, as well as if you love your creature aliens, well, also some Nazis, then you can may enjoy this title. So I definitely recommend the Metro series.
Stay tuned for more on that as well. An interesting one that I found before the podcast. We now know the best-selling video games of 2019, the top 10. Ready for this?
Yes.
Number one, Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Of course.
Not really a surprise. Number two, NBA 2K20. Not really a surprise. I mean, it's sports games. Number three, Madden. Also not a surprise. Number four, this is slightly surprising, Borderlands 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the looter shooter of Borderlands 3 is very addicting, and plus the storyline is just amazing, so yeah.
And it's a very much a fan favorite franchise that fans have been wanting for years. So, number five, Tyler's favorite game of on the Switch in 2019, Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that and I knew that one had done well, because obviously they have said distinctly that it was the best-selling game of the franchise. And for the record, this is all only U.S. sales. This is the NPD numbers. But still, so yeah, Mortal Kombat number five, number six, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
A legit good Star Wars game, yes.
Indeed, lots of good things about it. Number seven, a little game called Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Just saying, and remember, this is the 2019 sale. So okay, so part of that does not include the initial rush from 2018. All right, so yeah. Number eight, Kingdom Hearts 3. Not really surprised there. Number nine, this one's a surprise, The Division 2. I was not expecting that to be on the list compared to everything else. Okay. And number eight, this one is the biggest shocker on the list. This is no joke. You ready for this? Number 10, Mario Kart 8.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, and remember, this is the 2019 sales. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe came out in 2017, which means that this game, 12 over 2 years old, oh, and even longer if you remember that the port, sold more than a large variety of big name brand new titles in 2019. That is wow. And let's list some of the games that are not on this list, like Resident Evil 2, like Pokemon. Pokemon's not on the list. What are some of the other ones? Fire Emblem obviously is not on the list. Mario Maker, Legend of Zelda. You know, none of them are on the list.
Do you think that impacts? Do you think that impacts when we'll get a new Mario Kart?
If they're not working on 9 right now, I have no idea what they're doing. I mean, there is no way. There is no way they knew that 8 Deluxe would be this big of a hit. They brought it over because 8, the pure version, was the lowest selling Mario Kart game in history outside
just because
of
it was on the Wii U, but yeah,
exactly. But that, like, they wanted to fix that, so they thought, hey, the Switch is doing well, but like probably going to do well. Let's put it on there and try and get more out of it. And then it's like the third best-selling game on the system. Or was it number one? One or three?
Oh, number one, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was one, and then Odyssey was two. So yeah, there is no way they knew that was going to happen. So that is very impressive. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it at all, but okay. Sticking with the NPD numbers, the Switch was the best-selling platform of December 2019, not surprising, we can now confirm that it was the best-selling hardware platform of 2019 overall.
Let's keep it going. Hopefully, like this thing just continues to hope, just basically fuel the rumors and hopefully confirm the Switch Pro. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, 2020, I think the Switch should probably still win, even though the other consoles are launching. The PlayStation and the Xbox are going to be cutting into themselves, I guess, when the new consoles launch in November.
Also, on the games side of things, just for Nintendo, the best-selling game in December 2019 was...
Best-selling game of December, Pokemon?
No.
Damn it.
Number two. That was number two. Sword was two, Shield was five. Take another guess.
Why can't I think of any other big games that were released in December? Or... Is it a game that I own?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Let me put it to you this way. If you actually played it a lot, you know it doesn't suck. Or maybe it does suck.
I know.
Yeah, wait, what was the question?
What was the best-selling game of December 2019 for Nintendo?
Okay.
And I said if you played it, you know it doesn't suck.
Right. No.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, I got it. I think.
Say the right? name, dang it. Say
Luigi's
the name.
Mansion?
Yes. Luigi's Mansion 3 was the best-selling game on the Switch, just on the Switch, in December 2019.
No way. I mean, that's horrible for Pokemon. That's astonishing.
It kind of is, actually. It's physical and full digital for publishers in the digital leader panel ranked on dollar sales, or however, whatever the heck that means. And I'm pretty sure that some of these don't include digital sales. So, yeah. It goes Luigi's Mansion 3, Pokemon Sword, Mario Kart 8, Smash Bros. Ultimate, Shield, Breath of the Wild, Link's Awakening. So, Breath of the Wild, also Link's Awakening. New Super Mario Bros. U, Super Mario Party, and Ring Fit Adventure. Curiouser and curiouser. Like I said, this is nuts. But hey, okay, go Luigi!
When you said it doesn't suck, I feel the need to explain that when I hear December game and suck. I think of Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I thought you were making a strange reference to Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
No, if I would have said that, I would have gone with, you know, that it's your favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't be mad because never mind. We're not getting into this. Especially since I'm going to bring up the game later and you know exactly for what reason. Moving on to another third party thing, Mortal Kombat 11, which you talked about. The Joker gameplay trailer came out and it's as bloody and violent and gloriously Joker as you can expect. Just how bad is it, Todd? Oh, let me tell you. The Joker has your standard moves. He has, you know, a knife, a cane, a crowbar, which he used to beat up another Todd. But he also has a puppet Batman, which shoots a Gatling gun out of its mouth.
No way.
What?
That's so cool.
Oh yeah, and he goes like, "You have failed justice," or something like that, and then he shoots a gun. What's that? Oh, that's not crazy enough. Okay. When he wants to, he can summon a hostage with a bomb that literally runs into the foe and blows up.
Yes, that was so brutal. That is brutal.
Oh, what's that? That's still not enough? Okay. Literally hits you with a wheelchair person. Kid you not. Person in a wheelchair rolls up, he grabs them, throws them into the bad guy. Which obviously is a reference to Oracle, but obviously they can't put Oracle on the wheelchair because that would be insulting for all sorts of reasons. But they'll just throw a random wheelchair person on there and he beats him up with that. So, yeah, totally does that. And then his super brutal move, or his brutal combo, or whatever they call it, is he literally stabs you like 20 different times and then goes Jason Todd on your sorry carcass and literally bludgeons you with a crowbar to near death. And then his fatality in epic Joker style. It's Mark Hamill Joker for all you haters who don't know this. I give you a cake! A cake of friendship! Oh yes, it's glorious! And then the cake blows up and I shoot you a million times while a sign dangles over your head, shoots that, and then impales you. Fatality!
Yeah,
it's glorious.
Like NetherRealm really does. Like I gotta give props to NetherRealm Studios. Like they really know how to like really give proper service to like the characters whenever they include like from Starfire, just all their characters. Like, they know how to give a lot of personality to it, and that's like a lot of this kind. This trailer kind of gives a lot of people hope for Spawn. So which is kind of good.
And Ed Boon has said that he's wanted Joker in Mortal Kombat, like a pure Mortal Kombat, not an Injustice, for a long time. And he worked really hard on Joker's moves to make sure that they fulfilled the lineage and the greatness of the Joker. And I would say he succeeded, chaps. I would say that he has succeeded. So, yeah. And that is coming out for all systems on February 4th via the Combat Pack. Okay, and which means that the only DLC character left for you all is Spawn, voiced by Keith David. Does no one get the significance of that?
I've seen the movie.
He wasn't in the movie. In the cartoon. It was on HBO.
Oh, he was in the cartoon? I thought he was in the live action. Oh,
no,
okay,
Michael Jai White was the live action version.
Okay.
Know your movie references! Whoosh! That's why I'm the host. Anyway, moving on quickly. A rumor, this is only a rumor, but Bioshock Trilogy might be coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, this appeared on, I forget which retailer, but it was one of those Best Buy style. It appeared on, I think, an online European retailer.
Yeah. Before you say, well, that doesn't mean it's coming. Okay, we've had this for South Park. We've had this for Metro Redux. That happened like a few days before the announcement. And it wouldn't be the weirdest thing in the world. I mean, how many ports have been coming to Switch recently? Why not?
Right.
So, oh my gosh, Big Daddy and Smash.
Let's not forget about the last time Big Daddy was in a fighting game. Yeah.
We don't acknowledge that dumpster fire. Imitation is not the sincerest form of flattery when that's the result. All I'm thinking about is that fake Snake Codex channel where he's talking about Raiden and how he got into the dumpster fire while Snake was in Smash, and it's just like, no one. I refuse to acknowledge dumpster fire. Okay,
we
moving
had this
on.
Weird phase in college where this one of our friends loved PlayStation so much, and we would always be playing Smash, of course. And then he brought down PlayStation All Stars to show us how cool, you know, how much cooler it was than Smash. And no, that game was pretty trash.
Yeah, I mean, isn't this the lesson, Sony? You did a good thing. I'm not going to deny you. You did a good thing when you branched off from Nintendo and you made the PlayStation 1. That was good. You helped push us into the next generation of gaming. I will always give you that. The PS2 is one of the greatest consoles of all time. Period. End of story. And you have franchises under your banner that are legendary, that went from probably wouldn't be good like Uncharted to one of the most important franchises we've had recently, despite the terrible movie that you're still trying to make. I digress. You know, Last of Us, and, you know, Twisted Metal, and Kingdom Hearts, and all
And God of War.
God of War. And we're grateful for you, but whenever you try to mimic Nintendo, you fail! The handhelds, bad. The Move, terrible. PlayStation All-Stars, what were you thinking? And then finally you acknowledge that with the Switch you're not going in that direction, though I bet you wanted to. You wanted to, Sony, admit it, but you realize we're probably not going to beat Nintendo, so let's just go with the graphics. That's what we're good at. You do you, Sony. Stop trying to be us. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right. Good rant.
Thank you.
Thank you. So there's nothing wrong with being your own thing. That is one thing we preach here, is individuality. So be yourself. Stop trying to copy others. Anyway, and then tomorrow they're going to announce PlayStation All-Stars 2. No! Oh, gosh.
The much-demanded sequel.
Coming in Super 4K XD Ultra Plus Knuckles and Sonic. What? Let's move on. Alright, last story, and I'll let Tyler take the lead on this one. Super Nintendo World.
Yes, Super Nintendo World, I believe, is going to be opening in Japan this year. And they released a little, I guess, trailer for the theme park. It seems very Mario heavy. In fact, I did not see anything from any other franchise. I'm sure Donkey Kong will be there and Yoshi will be there, but
Zelda.
And yes, but the main attraction seemed to be Mario. It's a pretty cool though. They're trying to make it an interactive, almost gaming experience where you can level up as you progress through the park and compete with other players or with other park goers. This is finally being out. It's going to be coming to the United States probably in 2021, the plan. So it's something to keep an eye on. But in the meantime, I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how they grow the park in Japan, because I do wish that we had more than just the Mario franchise being represented. It's called Super Nintendo World, not Super Mario World.
Well, I think it's because Mario is Mario.
Mario should be the number one thing for sure, but again, it's Super Nintendo World.
I know, but it's like, okay, here's a fun fact for you history buffs out there. When Disneyland opened, park wasn't ready. It was literally conceived as one of the biggest fails ever because a lot of the rides weren't finished. A lot of the stands weren't prepared for the onslaught of people. And they were live reporting this from Disneyland while Disney was there and everything. And it took like months afterwards for the park to get up to its full capacity to do everything it could. And now it's the Disneyland we all know and love. So I think that's what they're doing here. They want to open it so that people can understand what's coming, and they're focusing on Mario because that's their central icon. And then they've admitted that they're going to slowly grow the park with other rides, other platforms, and of course other franchises, so that it will be a true Nintendo World.
Yeah, it was reported that they are excited to, or they're looking into adding other franchises in the mix. So we can expect it to happen, just a matter of when.
Oh, one last thing. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, just briefly, like, yeah, what they showed off the trailer regarding to, like, the augmented reality, like, yeah, actually earn coins, stuff on Goombas per se, using your phone to, like, basically interact with everything else, set level up. It's, and also, like, what was the, like, they used one of the, like, singers, I forgot her name, sorry, but, yeah, overall from the trailer I've seen, like, okay, I think if once they finally release this thing, I don't know, this is probably another thing I want to put on my bucket list to finally see a Nintendo Land, aside from like Nintendo World in New York. So, this is definitely something interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to want to go to the Japan Super Nintendo World, but especially if the one doesn't come stateside. I know they're doing one in California and one in Orlando, but depending on how long the wait is, I might have to go check it out.
I'm excited for this. I look forward to when it comes to USA. That'll be a place that I know will get big business, because everyone says like gaming is not that big of a franchise, and it's like, yeah, right. It's bigger than like a lot of other media put together. So, and it's just going to be a fun place. It's going to be like Disney World. You know, it's except with gaming. The augmented reality, and so why not? So, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a while, and I expect that. I'm fine with them launching in Japan first, because that'll work out all the details, and then they'll bring it to the U.S. and go, okay, here's what we need to do, here's the localization we need to do, fix in. You know, that's their test run, is in Japan. They'll make sure everything is as perfect as it can be, and then they'll bring it over, and we'll get the best version of it. So, also, I think Japan is a lot more patient than the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay, one last thing. I do apologize. One last thing. If you recall, in the last few weeks, we have noted that March and April have been, let's call it, locked in, quote-unquote, as the most important gaming months of the year, especially on the date of March 20th, in which four or five major titles were going to be released. And then in April, a couple more key titles were going to be released. That's changed now. Because in the course of days, we had delays of Cyberpunk 2077 to at least August or September.
September, not September.
Marvel's Avengers from Crystal Dynamics. That's delayed until August. Final Fantasy VII Remake has been delayed until April. Only about 3 weeks, but still. So we went from the most important, 2 months of gaming in recent history to now there's Animal Crossing, Doom, and Final Fantasy.
Right, Animal Crossing is like the final survivor here.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep, Animal Crossing has outlived all of you. You blinked, sir. I mean, wow. If one delay happened, like the Final Fantasy thing, that's fine. You need an extra 3 weeks, take it. Take the extra 3 weeks. You've been waiting years. Take those 3 weeks. But with Avengers and Cyberpunk especially, you really felt like, okay, we're finally going to get our hands on these games. We're months away, and then, no, we're just going to delay it like half a year. That's big. It's surprising.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy one is, I guess, it's not quite as shocking, just because, you know, it's such a huge game, they're going to want to get it exactly right. It is interesting, but they only delayed it for
3 weeks.
How many? Three weeks. How many games are you going to get done in 3 weeks?
You'd be surprised. I mean, seriously, you'd be surprised.
Probably would be.
Hopefully. I mean, Square Enix has always had that history regarding to delaying the games, including with Final Fantasy XV. Let's remember, it was originally one time and then delayed it again and again until it finally got released. But yeah, with Square Enix, it's not too bad. I mean, hopefully, as long as they don't crunch themselves to death. But yeah, with Cyberpunk 2077, CD Projekt Red, they've always been known for quality. And the fact they had to go push it all the way back to the fall is okay, CD Projekt. I mean, if Witcher 3 was any indication, you want to make this game as perfect as possible. So I don't mind. It's just I mean, heck, I got a backlog, so I don't really mind. This is all good for me, so I don't really mind.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. It's the month to itself.
No.
Outside of Animal Crossing.
There you go. I was like, dude, come on. This is not even close. Also, Doom Eternal is still coming out. Not for Switch. I mean, that's coming out a little bit later in the year. But for the other systems, it's still coming out around that time. So, but yeah, that's just hilarious how in the course of days, it was literally I'm pretty sure Final Fantasy Avengers was on the same day. And then Cyberpunk was today. So, yeah, that's wow. Like I said, it's been a busy week, ladies and gentlemen. So, alright. And now for our main event. Smash Brothers. Can't escape it. So, Sakurai, Lord, Master, and Troll, has revealed to us that we're going to get 6 brand new DLC characters over the course of the next 2 years. So obviously, now that we know Byleth is here, we gotta pick who our top 6 should be, could be, would be characters are. So it's time to assemble the NEP Secret Society. Alright, I call this a meeting of the NEP Secret Society to order, and we're just going to do this very basically. We're each going to take turns listing out our 6 characters and brief explanations, glares at Will, brief explanations of why these 6 characters should be the ones that Sakurai has picked. Now again, all 6 characters are already chosen at the time of this recording. They've already said, Sakurai said they already know who is going to be this. These are just our speculation. There's no voting gauntlet or whatever. Okay, it's just who do we hope, want, desire in Smash via the next 6 characters, which, if we're being honest, is likely to be the last 6 characters in the game. Is that fair to say?
You know what? Listen, this happened a long time ago, but I remember early when they first data mined the game, there were 20 character slots. Maybe it was 15. I think it was 15 character slots that were still open. So it's possible that there could be a pack 3. They have open spots in the game. It is possible.
And Sakurai said that the Fighter Pack 2 was supposed to be 2 or 3 characters, and then they... So...
Yeah.
Things change. All right, so Will, though I am very scared, I will let you go first.
If we have somebody, just to save some time, if we have somebody, person, after the explanation, just feel free to jump in and say that person was on your list too.
No, it's fine. Go, we, if we have a clone or a copy, just skip the explanation.
Because I'm actually still I only have four characters on my list right now, but I'm still making it.
Lame.
But, like the. Yes, yeah. But yeah. So firstly, the first one that obviously I really hope like he comes to the game is Travis Touchdown of No More Heroes fame, because again, I would love to see like Suda51's creation come to Smash Brothers, because again, like who knows? You never know. Like it's just so crazy. He's pretty much essentially the Deadpool for Nintendo right now. So the otaku assassin. You never know. It could work out. And heck, he's so pro at breaking fourth walls, you could actually have a good conversation with Pit. Who knows? second part, I think I'm just going to throw a bone here for the fans. Yes, Dante is obviously the most, like, probably the next requested one, because, like, I guess in similar to, like, with Travis or, like, Deadpool, like, he is a monster. He's quirky. He's just so. Yeah, he's just a character that. He's so funny. He's also like, he's serious, but at the same time, not as joking. Not as, like, he knows how to balance him out. Again, it's Dante. And the fact, like, I don't know. He definitely feels like will be a very good match in Smash Bros. So, yeah, Dante. The next one is probably the Pipe Dream affair. And, like, I'm pretty much getting the consensus here. But, yeah, Sora of Kingdom Hearts, because everybody knows that Sora. That Sora is probably one of the original crossover games ever, so why not put Sora, one of the mascots of crossovers, into a major crossover like Smash Brothers? So it just kind of comes full circle. So yeah, Sora of Kingdom Hearts. Next one, it's pretty much awesome. Like, she is a spirit, because again, like, because I can hear the theory that even though she was a spirit prior the Fighters Pack, it means it doesn't necessarily rule out the chance they could also be fighters.
No.
So Shantae is another one that's
Shantae.
Pretty popular up there, because yeah, Shantae she's getting that popular Yakuza games. I mean, aside from like getting representation from Shovel Knight as an assist trophy, Shantae definitely has a good shot of like being a fighter in four Smash Bros. And again, continuing with that reputation with Nintendo, I mean, I wouldn't mind that. So yeah.
I also I just want to pause really quick. I want to apologize, because if you recall when the Shantae 5 trailer came out, there was the wondering if that window was a reference to the Smash Brothers symbol, and I bet you guys that Shantae would be the final character. I was wrong, and
I'm
apologize.
I'm glad you fessed up it, because I remember you saying that you thought it was possible. I didn't remember you staking your reputation on
it. No, it wasn't my reputation. I just felt that it was real, because it was too perfect. The window was too perfect of a Smash. It was the Smash Brothers symbol.
Sakurai has changed the math again with the three actually meaning something. Because now the window, I'm like, that's insane. But no, the window makes a lot of sense.
Thank you. So, and hey, I apologize for now, but if Shantae is in one of those six characters, I'm taking my apology back. So, but I thought she would be the fifth character. I was wrong. I apologize. See, Tyler, that's how you admit you're wrong when a leak or a rumor is not true that you believed in with all your heart and soul. That's how you do it.
I mean, that one was a foolish one to even fall for, but
Whatever you say, Mr. Grinch.
just quickly on my last two characters, another one I feel like perhaps actually would be an interesting put. I mean, most likely with Tekken, but I feel like he may be a good fit in as well. This is a dream character. Kiryu Kazuma of the Yakuza series. Like, he's a brawler, very similar to, I guess similar to in regards to like Ryu, Ken, or even Akira as the assist trophy. But having Kiryu Kazuma into Smash Bros., while even with the whole photorealistic, probably wouldn't match up with the whole cartoony aspect. I feel like, I don't know, maybe Kiryu Kazuma would be a nice little interesting fit. And the last one, we have so much fighting games, and I'm pretty sure like Sakurai at least has one fighting game icon or character of these different franchises.
Tekken. And,
yeah, like Tekken or so, but
Tekken still.
I always had a strange feeling, because like I've been seeing Maximilian Dude's predictions, and I really do hope that, man, I don't know, I really do hope that NetherRealm Studios actually considers actually giving a Sub-Zero or Scorpion into Smash Brothers. I mean, yes, highly unlikely given to their nature of the games. But, like, I just can't help but feel like since this is just the perfect fighting game, even though, like, again, the whole debate if fighting is Smash Bros. Is a fighting game, which he talked about in his direct.
Which was so funny that all the haters and losers just, like, totally misread that quote, and we should have addressed that. Because I saw our very own King Koopa Keith was like, Sakurai's confused whether Smash is a fighting game or not. No! He said it's more than a fighting game. He said it's not just a fighting game. Like
Celebration of gaming.
Right! But he didn't say it's not a fighting game. He said it's more than a fighting game. It's a fighting game and then more.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me, look at the Game Awards, because they gave it Best Fighting Game, dicks.
So, yeah, I like Sub-Zero, Scorpion, of like a Mortal Kombat. Or heck, I know comic book characters are not on the list, but even he said, like, I don't know, Wolverine since Marvel vs. Capcom as a fighting game. Or heck, even...
Stop. He said that it's video game born characters. That's why Goku, Iron Man, and characters like them will never be in Smash Brothers. They have to be video game born.
Okay. So yeah, scratch that list. Then, like, yeah, either be Sub-Zero or Sub-Zero Scorpion, or heck, even like just as the honorable mention, Okami, Amaterasu.
Ooh, Okami, that's Okami. A great pick. That's
a probably
pick.
A good one. So yeah. I mean, he could work. I mean, we have always wanted Wolf, so you know, you never know.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my six picks.
Okay, Tyler,
good picks,
how about you?
Good picks.
I like those. I'm actually very impressed. You could have gone way overboard, but you didn't, so I'm proud of you.
Don't worry, unless we don't have another My Serenui situation, at least for that.
I also had Sora, of course.
Of course.
I wouldn't have Sora. But I, for first party, because now first party years are in suddenly, I think Sakurai may have let us in on a little secret. This director, when he mentioned how he had early access to Breath of the Wild, he said that he thought, oh, I can't make Breath of the Wild Princess Zelda a fighter because obviously she wasn't a fighter in
Correct.
That game. But with Breath of the Wild 2 coming out, is it possible that Zelda will play more of a combat role? We could see Breath of the Wild Zelda as a DLC character. So I have her on my list. I have
that's
Dante
an interesting
as well.
Take on it. That's an interesting take on that. I like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Thinking outside the box on that one, just because this goes along with my other first party pick of Pokey Minch from Earthbound, some of the franchises that haven't gotten new reps in Ultimate, the first party, so Fire Emblem just got a new one with Byleth. Will Zelda get one, and will Earthbound get one? I think it's very possible. But yeah, so Dante from DM's Devil May Cry was also on my list. We'll explain that one pretty well. Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden, that's an iconic character. Ninja Fighters, we have Sheik, which is cool, but I think that we could go a little further with the ninja motif, maybe somebody with a little bit more power behind their moves, but with a similar kind of speed. So yeah, Ryu Hayabusa would be sweet. And finally, Lloyd Irving from Tales of, I think it's surprising we haven't gotten a Bandai Nam character yet, so I think a Tales of protagonist Lloyd.
You mean a new Bandai Namco character.
Yes.
We have Pac-Man.
No, right. Yeah, I meant a new one.
Right.
But Lloyd would be, he's best known for Tales of Symphonia, which I believe is a GameCube game.
It was.
So I think he makes the most sense. Now, he is a sword fighter, so, you know, don't freak out. But I think he would be pretty cool as well.
So list all six again.
Sora, Breath of the Wild, Zelda, Dante, Ryu Hayabusa, Lloyd Irving, and Pokey Minch.
Oh, right, Pokey Minch. Okay, that's a very interesting list. All right, my turn. I'm going to start off with a character that has been rumored for a long time. Sakurai has talked about this particular character in past directs, and of course, this is the main character of Tyler's favorite game ever!
Oh, no.
Oh, yes! Rex! From Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And I'm not doing this just to troll Tyler. That's just a bonus. Which is why I'm the host, because I get all these bonuses, dang it. And yeah, I don't get paid. But I've honestly said for a long time that Rex would be a great addition, and the reason we got the amiibo or the Mii Fighter costume for Rex was because Sakurai didn't have time during the original development of Smash Brothers to put in Rex, but now he has all the time. Because the fighter pack was likely already determined by the time the game was done. I think I remember him saying that. But now they said, hey, if we're going to make 6 more characters, who do we have? And then he probably thought, you know, I remember Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles. That's a really cool character. We already have Shulk. Okay, so why not put Rex in? And with Rex, yes, he's a sword fighter, but he's a blade fighter, as in the characters. So you would have 2 different versions of him between Pyra and Mithra, which would be enable 2 different play styles, and obviously be totally different from the Fire Emblem characters, you haters. And it would just be really fun. And then obviously, for the final Smash, they could go, spoilers, the 3rd form of Pyra, and just have a lot of fun with that. So that, I honestly feel, would be a good first-party addition. Third party, I'm also going to go Sora, but I want to put a little twist into it, because a long time ago, I made a list of all the third-party characters I wanted in Smash Bros. This was long before I did the podcast. And I can legit tell you that every single one of them is in Smash, except for Sora and Riku. So what if they did a really cool, like, tandem thing, kind of like the Ice Climbers, but with Sora and Riku? Because, you know, they're best buds, you know, when they're not trying to kill each other. And, you know, between the games, you've actually played as Riku as well as Sora. And they've even had a tag team battle against Xehanort in Kingdom Hearts 2, which is really legendary. So I think it'd be cool to, you know, kind of subvert expectations and have it be, you know, you could actually, like, switch out between Sora and Riku at the same time. But they're still on the screen together. So it looks like Ice Climbers, but it plays like Pokemon Trainer. And so they have, like, different combo moves and everything. And I think that would be a really fun twist on the formula.
Yeah, that would be sick.
Thank you. That's why I'm the host. I have such great ideas. Moving on. Number 3, going back to first party, Isaac, Golden Sun. I know I just mentioned him a while ago. Golden Sun is one of the most cult classic video games in, or video game franchises in Nintendo history. We even did a story a little bit ago about the God of War director wanting to burn the other franchises to the ground to get Golden Sun back. And that's the kind of loyalty I appreciate. So, and we have had Isaac in Smash Brothers via assist trophies. And yes, he has a sword, but he also has his Jin and his magic, including his legendary pushing hand, which can be an attack all its own. And with all the other Jin, it can be kind of like a Byleth or Korin, where it just augments his abilities to be very different. So the sword can be like the base attacks, but his Jin and his other abilities can be his specials. So it's totally different. Okay, so that's 3. 4, I know this one feels like a cop-out, but Geno.
Yeah, I should have put Geno on my
list. No, it's fine. Geno has been long desired. Geno has been long requested. I don't know if it's a rights issue. I just don't know if they don't think they can do Geno, which is weird because he's an RPG character. All his attacks are literally there for you to replicate. So, but Geno is one of the things where it's like, we want Geno. We want Geno bad. We deserves to be in here. So just give him to us, Daddy Sakurai. Okay, stop being a troll. That ain't gonna happen. But still, all right. That's 4. Number 5. I had these all in my head. Where'd they go? Oh, that was it. Pokemon. I'm going to put this one as a general thing, because as we found out with Incineroar, which was a worthy addition in its own right, Sakurai had to make the game, make Ultimate the first run, knowing that Pokemon was about to come out, but not knowing who to pick. And so when the game finally came out, he realized that Incineroar was the perfect placement for representation of a Gen 7 Pokemon. And I honestly think he was right. That or Decidueye, obviously. And now we're in Gen 8. I don't know legit who he would put in here. Because you could say, well, Cinderace is, you know, a kicker. It's got fire attacks. I'm like, that's cool, but we just had a fire Pokemon. And you go, okay, what about Sobble's final evolution? I'm like, well, I feel like that looks too much in style with Greninja. And as much as, Tyler, what was Grookey's final?
It is Rillaboom.
Yeah, Rillaboom. While Rillaboom looks cool, the drum is part of its, you know, attacks. And so it would be kind of weird just to, like, for the drum to disappear and reappear. This isn't like Donkey Kong's bongos, where he magically appears in with his final smash at times. This is different. So I don't know if you can go starters here, which would mean they'd either have to go legendaries or another fan favorite, kind of like what they did with Lucario. I don't know who you'd put in there, though. So I'm just going to leave that space open. Maybe they go back and decide, hey, maybe Decidueye is the best one here. And I'm not going to fault them for that. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave a Pokemon slot there. And we'll just leave it at that. Number six, this one's going to be controversial. And I'm sorry, not sorry, Reese's. I am going to pick Catherine from Fire Emblem Three Houses. I'm kidding. I'm not picking Catherine. I should.
That would be interesting.
Oh, what's that?
That would be controversial.
What's that? You don't want a sword user? Awesome. I'm giving you Catherine. She's an epic sword user. Suck it, fools. No more Fire Emblem characters. I'm actually going to go a little. I'm going to do a little fun thing here. I'm going to say Paper Mario.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because, and I know I say, oh, but that's just, now you're just adding to the Mario franchise. I'm like, yeah, I am, but Paper Mario plays very differently from Mario between his hammer, his jumps, his badges, some of his folding techniques. I think you could have a lot of fun with that. I know it would be a little more difficult to animate per se, which is, I know that sounds weird because it's a literal two-dimensional character, but it would be a little rougher to do, but I think it'd be a lot of fun to do. And again, Paper Mario is a franchise a lot of people love despite the recent string of horrible sequels. So, and if we're going to go for, like, you know, a new kind of variety or whatever, why not have a little fun? And then maybe for the final smash, you can either do like the Star Storm from the original game or, you know,
Star
like
Storm.
Or like summoning all the characters to do like a rampaging stampede attack, you know. There's a lot of ways you can play it, so it's Paper Mario. They've done a lot with the paper aesthetic. They've got a lot of lore to dig into, so I think that would just be a fun little thing to do. It wouldn't be the most popular one, and I definitely agree that shouldn't be the actual last character because it won't get as big a boom. But you know, maybe like two or three, I think that'd be fine. So
I don't know. I think people would be. Yeah.
It just depends.
People would be excited for Paper Mario.
I would hope. I mean, again, the Byleth with, you know, because Three Houses was totally a success in every stretch of the word, and yet people are like, oh, man, I got Byleth? Dude, sucks. Shut up. Dude, be excellent to each other, bruh. Whoa. Anyway, so, and yes, I know that I did a lot of first-party characters, but that's because I feel like there's a lot of first-party characters that deserve to be in the game. And I didn't even cop out hard and go Midna, because I still desire Midna to be in this bloody game as a playable character. Wolf Link and Midna, it's right there! It's perfect! But you monsters just make her an assist trophy. Except you, Daddy Sakurai, you're just a troll. So would that be a step up or a step down? I don't know. Okay, let's just stop there. All right, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you whether you thought it was a good idea for Nintendo to run a Pokemon Direct before the primary Nintendo Direct. 68% of you said yes, it was, and 30% said no. I was surprised by that. I thought that the most people would say that they were angry about it.
I thought it would be a close one. I didn't think it would be a blowout either way. But for the record, this one, we honestly had a lot of votes on. So,
we did, yeah.
Yes. So. And also, I just want to quickly update. We didn't actually mention this one as well. We're going to the Mii costumes. Cuphead.
Oh, that's a great point. I thought about that halfway through.
All right, very quickly. Really, very quickly. Yes, we got new Mii costumes for two different versions of Mega Man, including X and Battle Network. We got Cuphead, like actual Cuphead with a musical track. And the animations actually do it with his finger blaster, if you will. So that's accurate. We got Altair from Assassin's Creed.
Altair, get it.
Whatever.
Right.
Ezio for life. I'm kidding. I don't care. I've actually only played Assassin's Creed 3. So there was that one. Who else did we get?
Rabbids.
Oh, it's a rabbit. So we got some new Mii costumes, and that's pretty cool, as well as ruling out certain franchises like Cuphead, which I'm not going to say couldn't be possible, but they definitely had a limited moveset that would have been on there. But Assassin's Creed, I know, I think has been requested by some. So,
which is really surprising. I actually got Assassin's Creed representation. Surprise,
yeah. Again, you know, the crossovers are there, and Smash Brothers is a legendary thing, so why not? And so this one, this poll is going to be very simple, and I definitely expect a lot of votes with this one because you're going to be hashtagging this one to death, Tyler. Are you happy with Byleth as the final DLC character? Yes? Yes? No? Or should have been revealed before another character? Which I think is a fair thing to say because, you know, if they swapped, say, Banjo and Byleth, I think that would have gone over a little easier. But, so...
Yes.
Timing is everything.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
You know,
just say that first-party characters will be included. That I think that changes the reaction a fair bit.
But yeah, I definitely look forward to seeing what this poll delivers us. And of course, let us know all of your thoughts on everything that's happened this week, from Byleth to the Fire Emblem DLC. Pokemon, do you want Skies of Arcadia sequel, or do you just want Will to Cry? So that would be a no. Are you excited for Joker Mortal Kombat? Do you want Bioshock on Switch? And are you going to be someone who tries to go to Nintendo World when it opens in Japan? And of course, what 6 characters do you want in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Fighter Pack 2? Let us know. And if we get some good answers, we'll reveal them next week on the podcast. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.